Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. And let's continue in worship. I'd like you to turn to George, I need screen sharing. Sorry. Turn to a marvelous text in Mark chapter 13. Sorry, George, could you enable screen sharing for me? Can y'all hear me? Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. Jesus is sitting with his disciples. He's just gone toe-to-toe several rounds with the religious leaders. They brought him, they tested him, they challenged him with riddles, and they've been silenced. And then he tells his disciples, they're pointing to this massive, Herod spared no expense in building the temple. Took 40 years, made it much bigger, grander than before. And some of the stones were like 500,000 tons. The disciples said, look how massive and beautiful these stones are. And Jesus said, it's all going to be torn down. And then he goes into this long discourse about the coming tribulations and trials. And still trying to get screen sharing. This is not a passage that can be made more palatable to non-Christians. If we read the passage, there's nothing generic, you know, judge not lest you be judged. Consider the lilies of the field. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's nothing like that here. It's about the tribulation and perseverance of the saints facing great persecution. There we go. We're just going to read the end of the passage. The last few verses, I'll tell you about some of the others. But these last few verses, Jesus repeatedly, emphatically warns them to stay awake. So let's stand and read this together. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. But I say to you all, stay awake. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is good to come before you and sing, Lord, whether in person or online, we're together in spirit. We want to see you exalted, Lord, and we want to delight in your word. We pray you give us understanding of your words here about staying awake, Lord, that we could continue to walk with you, to follow you day after day, week after week. Looking forward to the day we will see you in glory. Revive us by your spirit, according to your word. We pray in Jesus' name, for his glory, your glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Regret. Wish we could be there. As I was saying, this passage, it's a hard-hitting passage about coming tribulations. And coming right after Christmas, we've often seen the message, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's actually a mistranslation of the Latin. The Bible doesn't actually have any such Pollyanna platitudes. Jesus said quite the opposite. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come Jeremy calls this the sword of Christmas. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies be those of his own household. He said, trials, tribulation is coming. There's a spiritual war. This world is full of evil. If we do not let God set things right, there will be hell to pay, literally. Jesus talked a lot about it. We're going to be tempted to kind of hide and quiet down and let our faith just fall asleep. As our culture turns more and more anti-Christian, as the Bible is mocked, even called hate speech, as our false teachers flourish, we're going to be tempted to stop questioning, stop challenging, just quiet down and go to sleep. And so Jesus emphatically warns us here, stay awake. If you know what's coming, he tells us this is what's coming. Stay alert. Don't be surprised. I think of like the athletes. We got the Olympics coming up again. They spend a lot of time not just training their bodies, but training their minds, preparing to endure, preparing for the hardship, girding their minds for action. Peter says, gird your minds for action. Jesus here gives his disciples a long-range view, a mountaintop view of the coming trials and persecution, of what's going to happen between now and then, to the finish line. The basis of our salvation is the cross, and the way of true discipleship is the way of the cross and the resurrection. So he says, stay awake. I want to give you just five things he tells us in this passage, this long passage, chapter 13. Just give me 20 minutes. I have an acronym, A-W-A-K-E, for awake. First, A, Jesus says, anticipate deception. The first thing he tells his disciples, they ask him, when will these things take place and be accomplished? When he says the temple is going to be torn down. And the first thing Jesus says is, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And he's telling us in advance, deception is coming. Mass delusion is coming. People will willfully choose to believe a lie, Paul says. And be warned, you need to stay awake, stay alert. We need to recognize, we can't lose sight of the fact that as human beings, we all have to have some kind of religion. If we reject God, we will exalt some other kind of religion. We will carve out our own idols. We will carve out our own system of justice, of right and wrong, and exalt it. We need food, water, shelter. We need our earbuds. We need to worship and exalt something. And according to the Bible, when people do this, and it's contrary to God, they do not do it with good intentions. Everyone knows that God is there, Romans chapter 1, Psalm 19. We know that he's given us a conscience, Romans 2, Proverbs. And we willfully rebel and turn away and say, I will be the judge of good and evil. Jesus warns his disciples. Verse 5, see that no one leads you astray. Verse 9, be on your guard. Verse 21, be on your guard. I have told you these things beforehand. Satan quotes scripture. He knows his Bible well. He masquerades as an angel of light. These false teachers, it'll be so easy. They'll tickle your ears and you just want to go to sleep. When atheism was first being pushed, force-fed by the communists in Russia, in Ukraine, students learned to stop asking questions. I found a marvelous book, Live Not by Lies. And this couple, their names are Vladimir Grigorenko and Olga Rusanova, talked about how they had to learn what they called doublethink when atheism was being force-fed in the schools. And the general culture taught you doublethink. That was normal life. It's kind of like George Orwell's newspeak. In high school and middle school, we had to write essays like normal school kids do, but you never could write what you think about the subject. Never, ever. The subject could be interesting, but you never can say what you really think. You have to find some way to relate it to the communist point of view. When people grow accustomed to living in lies, shunning taboo writers, conforming to the official story, deforms their way of thinking. We've definitely got some doublethink expected of a lot of our students. And Jesus says, it's coming. The lies are coming. Stay alert. Keep questioning. So we need to keep questioning the establishment. For example, the scientific establishment challenged materialism. They're insisting that we do not have souls, we do not have spirits, that we are nothing but flesh and bones. Question these ideas of social justice. Where does morality come from? People are just pretending that we have created it. Is, for example, marriage something that we invented? The way we invented traffic laws or tax laws, did we invent marriage, or is it an aspect, an absolute of morality, of human nature, as objective and absolute as the law of gravity? Anticipate deception, ask questions, challenge these things. We don't want to give in to doublethink, to hiding, going to sleep. Ask God for understanding. The deception is coming. False teachers are coming. We keep asking questions. We stay on the alert. John the Baptist asked questions. King David asked lots of questions, not just intellectual, but moral, emotional. He cried out for understanding. King Solomon said, you mine for it as for hidden jewels, as for silver. You seek, you cry out for understanding. If we don't ask, we won't be listening. Keep us focused on God, alert. Jesus says, anticipate deception. Second, A, anticipate deception, awake. W, Jesus says, watch the signs. He says, but when you see, verse 14, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Jesus says, watch the signs. This tribulation is coming, trials, persecution. And then, talks about the abomination of desolation, and only the second of two times in Mark, the gospel writer, puts in a little comment on his own. He puts in parentheses, let the reader understand. Understand what? What is Jesus talking about? The abomination of desolation. Well, he's talking about the destruction of the temple, which is going to happen in 70 AD, about 40 years later. Horrors, Jesus talks on it about the horrors of siege warfare. He just says, you get out of there. You flee. Hope you're not pregnant. You run. Get out of there. The abomination of desolation, though. The first time that happened was a couple hundred years earlier. Do you remember when Alexander the Great, when he died in 323 BC, he didn't have any children, any descendants. So his empire was divided among four generals. The Judea, the Jews, belonged to the Ptolemaic kingdom in Egypt. But in 200 BC, the king of Egypt, who was a 15-year-old, became king. And the Syrian king, the Syrian empire, looked across, saw this ninth grader in power, and he just moved, and he took Judea. His name was King Antiochus. His son called himself King Antiochus Epiphanes, the coming of the glorious one. The Jews called him Antiochus Epimenes, the coming of the madman. He went around, he tried to force, with the sword, force the Jews to worship his Greek idols. He took Jerusalem, he went to the temple, he took a pig and slaughtered it, spread its entrails. That was the abomination of desolation. The Jews resisted. Guerrilla warfare kicked in. They kept winning. They took Jerusalem back, took the temple. The story was that they only had enough oil to burn candles in the temple for one day, but it lasted 7 days. And so they had the festival of lights. We see it in John chapter 10 when Jesus stood up, said, I am the light of the world. It's also called Hanukkah. Anyway, that's the abomination of desolation. Jesus says it's coming literally. It's coming figuratively when God's people get persecuted and their places of worship get crushed, get cracked down on. And the way Jesus describes it, it's a cosmic event. The sun will be dark and the moon will not give us light. The stars will fall from heaven. It's cosmic when the spiritual warfare happens. Do you remember when Adam and Eve, God put them in charge of his creation as viceroys? And so when God's people are in the middle of warfare, they take a stand. It's a cosmic event for all of creation. Jesus says, watch the signs. He says there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. He says, when you see the fig tree, its shoots getting tender. You know, summer is near. He says, pay attention, watch the signs. Now, on the one hand, we could look and say, oh, there's that guy, I read his quote, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the double thing, well, from his book. Anyway, here's increasing frequency of war and increasing natural disasters, some earthquakes, other things. We could say that this is, some signs. However, what Jesus is really talking about is the arrival of persecution. Here is, okay, I was reading this guy's quote. He talks about nobody believes how people are willfully choosing to believe a lie. And they say, it's not going to happen to us. Jesus says, watch out. These things are coming. Solzhenitsyn says this. He was sent into prison in Russia. There always is this fallacious belief. It would not be the same here. Here, such things are impossible. Alas, the evil of the 20th century is possible everywhere on earth. Jesus says, pay attention. Watch the signs. Okay. Anticipate deception. Watch the signs. Third thing, AWA, announce the good news. We are attacking the gates of hell. We are going on the proclamation of the good news. And when we do that, Jesus is wielding his sword. When he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, he says that in the context of evangelism, sending his disciples out, sending us out. He says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. They're going to deliver you over. They're going to put you on trial. You're going to have to bear witness. They called me the prince of demons. How much more are they going to malign you? And then he says this, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. We are in the midst of all this trial. We're actually on the offense. The gospel is offensive. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to be in war. We love peace, but we proclaim the gospel of peace, and there will be great trials. Jesus says, I'm telling you in advance, it's coming. One more time, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I went to him because that's where atheism was being force-fed and they had to learn how to fight. Quote, now for the first time, he's talking about arriving in prison. Now for the first time, you're about to see people who were not your enemies. Now for the first time, you're about to see others who were alive, who were traveling your road, and whom you could join to yourself with the joyous word, we. Now, I mention that because when we proclaim the gospel, we do it together. We gather together Sunday morning. We gather together in our small groups. We talk about proclaiming the gospel, and there's persecution, trouble coming. You just remember this when it comes. Remember what we read, what Jesus' words here. Stay awake. I have to admit, as Solzhenitsyn says, some of the most beautiful fellowship and worship I've ever witnessed was behind 9 locked doors in the maximum security prison in Trenton, the Trenton Penitentiary. Okay, a couple more. A, awake. A, anticipate deception. W, watch the signs. A, announce the good news. We are fighting the good fight. Jesus is wielding his sword, sending us out. K, keep calm. Verse 7, do not be alarmed. Verse 11, do not be anxious. Verse 13, you will be hated. I'm telling you in advance. And so you just stay calm. They're going to deliver you over. You're going to have to speak. The Holy Spirit will be with you. It doesn't matter whether we win or lose. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Jesus says, you know, for the most part, you're going to lose the battle. He's won the war, and we're out fighting the good fight. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be in prison. This is what he's telling his disciples. Doesn't matter whether you win or lose. You fight the good fight. You know, if some people are playing basketball or volleyball, and after 30 minutes, the score is like 45-3, even the winners are going to stop, wait. But this isn't working. We'll re-choose our teams. Because the goal is not actually to win. The goal is to compete. Our goal is to fight the good fight. We don't have to win. If our goal is to win, we're going to compromise. Our goal is not to win political battles, cultural battles. Our goal is to proclaim the gospel. So we can be like the old widow, right, who put in a single penny. Jesus pointed to her, a single cent. What she put in, said she put in more than all the others. She wasn't concerned that she gave all that she had. She's an old woman. She's poor. She says, I'm still going to give my life to God. And Jesus said, write it down. The next 2,000 years, we're going to be talking about this, what this woman does. All through the Old Testament, God writes down their names. He is with us. He has us. We can be calm. We are secure. Jesus says, do not be alarmed. Do not be anxious. Okay, one more. He says, all this tribulation is coming. Anticipate the deception, the false teachers, the delusions. Keep discernment, keep alert, anticipate deception. W, watch the signs, pay attention, listen carefully, ask questions, watch. AWA, announce the good news, proclaim it. We are attacking the gates of hell. And then K, keep calm. Doesn't matter. He is with us to the end. Be faithful unto death. Last one, E, endure. Endure to the end. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. But they who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Shall walk in not faint. He is with us to the end. He asks us to trust him to the end. The world will not notice. We will be forgotten. And again, I point to the old widow. Jesus sees us. He's with us. He will carry us. Abraham had to wait. Jacob, Joseph, Moses had to wait. Joseph spent all those years in prison and in slavery. We are waiting patiently. We are enduring. We're going to fight the good fight. Amen. Jesus says, stay awake and move forward. Keep your feet moving. Move forward to fight the good fight. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you that you make it clear you don't just want to bless us with new life, Lord. You want us to share in your sufferings, that we could share in your glory. Lord Jesus, we can walk with you. We can fight the good fight that you have chosen to reveal your salvation to the world through your people, that we would proclaim it. Lord, I pray that we would be wise to see trouble coming, or that we would be discerning about the lies, the Satan quoting scripture and looking so beautiful and tickling our ears, that we'd be discerning and we would want to speak the truth. I pray that we would be attentive, we'd pay attention, we'd ask questions, we'd watch carefully. And then, Lord, through it all, as your people, they would fight the good fight, Lord, and proclaim the gospel of peace in the midst of all this tribulation. Lord, may we be found faithful, waiting and watching that day you take us home, whether it's because we die for one reason or another, because you come back, Lord, we want to be found waiting, watching, alert, awake. Thank you for calling us, Lord, to walk with you. Be glorified in your church. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, hope to see you guys next week.